Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears on WWGH 107.1 FM. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears, a very tired Scott Spears, coming at you here on Wednesday, November the 3rd, 2021. 17 and a half minutes past the hour, the election fallout of 2021, and here we are. I did not leave the studio last night until 11:45, maybe. Our election coverage was on for over 4 hours last night, nonstop. We went on the air at 7:15 and did not leave the air until sometime after 11:30. And got home, recorded the news, didn't get to bed till about 1 o'clock, but here I am for another rip-roaring morning here on WWGH Radio. So if I fall asleep this morning, you know what happened. I know a lot of people went to bed last night. I don't know what happened last night in regard to the results, but we are going to try to get to the bottom of that this morning. I'll be on with Glenn Coble through noon today, and we're going to do our best this morning to try to figure out why the election was done the way it was done last night, and I'll get into that in just a second. We have the morning is peppered with candidates from last night, winners and people who did not win, and people who have things to say. So we will do that kind of on and off all morning this morning. And it's just kind of going to be catch-as-catch-can because the election ended so late, with the final election results not coming until about 11:30, that most people did not know if they had won or did not win until after 11:30 last night. A lot of people had to get up and go to work this morning. The one thing I do have to do, and it's right off the top of the program, and I did it last night, is thank everybody here at the station who was involved, because it was a long night for a local election. And I have to thank Linda Sims and all the wonderful work she did down at the Board of Elections. I have to thank Glenn Coble and all the tremendous work he did over at Democratic headquarters. He was there till they shut the doors on him at, I believe it was 10 o'clock that happened last night, so Glenn was there the entire time. Have to thank Terry Tackett, who was over at Republican headquarters right until the room cleared out last night. Have to thank Mary Ellen Withrow for sticking with us almost through 11 o'clock last night, as well as Angie Evers here in the studio, and Sean Kraft, who was right in the studio here with me up until the end. He was here the entire 4.5 hour duration, and Mayor Scott Schertzer, who stopped in, was only supposed to stay for 15 minutes, but very luckily for us, stayed for about an hour, and we thank him for that last night. Also thank the call-ins that we had from David Pepper, former Ohio Democratic chairman, and Jim Renacci, candidate for governor in the Republican primary, and the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams, all who called in last night, so I thank them. And I think the best headline you're going to see this morning is that the Republicans win big here in Marion, because it came down rough last night for the Democrats. We started, and I want to make sure I have all my paperwork here, the makeup of city council currently is 2 independents, 3 Democrats, and 4 Republicans. Now, the independents we knew were going to go away, because Josh Daniels is leaving city council and Kathy Swanger was not running as an independent any longer. She was running as a Democrat. The makeup of city council this morning is still 3 Democrats, but now 6 Republicans. And it's interesting to look at the results, because in the first ward, Kai Mead did win, but his opponent was a write-in candidate who received no votes. Write-in candidates it's very difficult for them to win. Ayers Ratliff in the second ward won with 123 votes to Pamela Larkin 78, so not a whole lot of votes there, 61% of the vote he got. And then from then on in the wards, it was all Republican. Josh Feliciano, well, Jason Schaber did not have an opponent, so the third ward was safe for the Republicans. The fourth ward, Josh Feliciano, was reelected with 58% of the vote over Dana Hanif Booker. In the 5th Ward, Karen Fosnaugh was re-elected with 52% of the vote over Tara Dyer, 47% of the vote. And in the 6th Ward, Kathy Swanger was unseated in the 6th Ward by Mike Neff, who was a city councilman at large but had moved to the 6th Ward to take on Kathy Swanger, and it worked. Mike Neff got 51.55% of the vote to Kathy Swanger's 48.45. So that becomes a Republican seat. It had been an independent seat. And when we look at the at-large seats, the only person running for re-election in the at-large positions was Democrat Mike Thomas, and he finished third. Now, we have three at-large council people in Marion, and Mike just got in under the wire because the person who got the most votes in the at-large position was Brett Cornelius, the Republican. Got 27.69% of the at-large votes. Aaron Rollins, the Republican, was number two, 25.21% of the votes. And Mike Thomas finished third, 22.35% of the vote. The odd man out in this was Evan Geyer, the Democrat, who got 20.61, so Evan Geyer will not be an at-large councilman. But now that's made up of two Republicans and one Democrat. Prior to this election, it was made up of an independent, a Democrat, and a Republican. Now two Republicans and a Democrat. So basically, the two independent seats have been filled by Republicans. It doesn't exactly go that way. I don't want to misrepresent it in that way. But with Josh Daniels leaving, his seat at large will be filled by a Republican. And in the 6th Ward, Kathy Swanger, who was an independent, ran as a Democrat, was unseated by a Republican. And everything else pretty much stayed the same. Kai Mead reelected, Ayers Ratliff reelected, Mrs. Fosnaugh reelected, Mr. Feliciano reelected, and Mr. Schaber reelected, as well as, who am I leaving off here? Mr. Ratliff reelected. So that's how it came down. Now, what that means as we go ahead, I'm not really sure. But certainly, when it comes to voting on things in regard to city council, the Republicans have quite an upper hand, double the amount of Democrats on city council right now, 6-3, as it will stand come January 2021. How about that? Now, the other big story of the night was Tom Panett, longtime Marion County Treasurer, was unseated, the Democrat Tom Panett, by Tommy Reese. Tommy Reese is the new treasurer here in Marion County come January. He got 53.29% of the vote. Tom Panett got 46.71% of the vote. That was a big one in a lot of people's mind. I don't think a lot of people thought that would happen, but it did. And again, we've been saying it since 2016. Every election morning, this is year five, the Republicans win big. I don't think there has been a year since the year of 2016 where the Republicans did not win big in Marion. Voter turnout was pretty good yesterday. 22.58% of the total registered voters turned out. That was about 9,000 people. That's pretty good for an off-year election. I don't remember what it was 2 years ago, but I think this number might be higher. Somebody will tell me if I'm wrong, but I think this number might be higher. Marion City School Levy did pass. The renewal levy did pass yesterday. The Tri-Rivers Levy did pass by a pretty good margin. And the first consolidated fire levy did go down in defeat again in the county. And, you know, that's been going on for quite a while now. And that's an interesting one, because a lot of people talk about police and fire and getting them the equipment they need. But for some reason in the county, that first consolidated levy does not pass in the county. And it did not pass again last night. So those are the big races. There are all kinds of other races, township trustees and things of that nature. If you want that information, just go to the Board of Elections website and you can see all the numbers and everything that went on last night. A very interesting and long night. And as I say, we are going to be joined by people who were involved last night in things in one way or another. But at this point, my only objection to what happened last night is how we deliver the votes. And I'm not sure, and I think everybody has this objection this morning. I think everybody in the Democratic Party, I think everybody in the Republican Party, and I think everybody in the media is very confused on why they gather up all the votes and then they release the results at one time. I don't know of any other county in Ohio that is done that way. Now, if there is one, somebody can point it out to me, but we never did things that way here in Marion. Other counties don't seem to do things that way. I don't know what that is all about, to be honest with you. But it is the way it is right now until we find out different. And I think we are going to get answers to that at some point on why it is done that way. It was a late night. To be sure. A lot of questions now in regard to what does all this mean? What does all this folderol mean last night? And I think time will tell, to be honest with you. Time will tell exactly what this means, because this could have a lot of impact in the future. Because these people who won last night will take office come January. Now, what is interesting, a lot of people coming to office who have not been in office. Tommy Reese, to my knowledge, has not been in office. He will come to the treasurer's office. We have Brett Cornelius and Aaron Rollins, who I do not believe have been council people. They will be there. And I think other than that, it stayed pretty safe. Now, what does it say? I don't know. We'll go to the listening audience later on this morning to see what you guys think out there. But a very, very interesting night. And I think, and that's about all I can say this morning, is that it was an interesting night. I do want to let everybody know that the coverage of last night's election is available on the internet. Thank Adam Lepp for that. So if you want to listen to the election coverage last night, it is on the website, WWGH1071.com, all 4-plus hours of it. And it's something kind of interesting to listen to, because we started off with the mayor and Mary Ellen Withrow last night, and I think certainly on the Democratic side, the mood was very high, and I would imagine by the time 11:30 rolled around, the mood not so high in the Democratic Party. And when Glenn Coble gets in here later on this morning from 10 until noon, we'll talk a little bit about this, because as you know, Glenn is a member of the Democratic Party and what repercussions this will have on that party. Kai Mead is going to join us this morning, but I don't think until about 11:20, so you'll want to pay attention to that. And other than that, at this particular point, as I say, the morning will be peppered with people who might have something to say in regard to last night's election. And I think we are going to have a guest here momentarily, but what a night it was. It was just one of those strange nights, and I'm thinking that this happened in 2019. But I don't think it happened in 2020. So again, we're going to try to get an answer on what happened at the Board of Elections. Now, the one-drop result system is certainly, I guess, fine at this particular point, but why nobody knew it was going to happen that way, I think, is the hang-up here this morning. And also, apparently, we were waiting for a truck from Elgin for quite a while last night. I don't think the truck from Elgin got in with the votes until like 10:32, I think somebody said. And, you know, that's 3 hours after, no, 2 hours, if I can count this morning. No, 3 hours. 3 hours after the polls closed at 7:30. Why did it take 3 hours for the votes from Elgin to get to the Board of Elections? And that's one of the problems with holding the votes. If you hold the vote count until all of the votes are in to release them to the public, if you have a snag, like in Elgin, where you have to wait 3 hours to get the votes, and then you have to take another 45 minutes to count those votes, we don't have any results at all. And everybody just sits on pins and needles. The only results that were released early last night were the early voting results. We got those a little after 8 o'clock, but nothing else until 11:30. All right, go ahead, caller.
Scott Spears, interviewer of the candidates. Don't want to hog your show, as I know a VIP is coming on soon. I am working on getting a person who can help to explain the methodology and logistics of the results, and their number is still going to voicemail, but you know me, I'm persistent. Not as persistent as you, but when it comes to things like Geraldo and election statistics, it's important, and so I'm on it. Just want to let you and all of our listeners know.
All right, well, thank you. That's the question of the morning, if we can get that answered.
I've made some extra coffee, and I don't want to sound like a broken record, but I wish Mr. Feliciano would come on the station. You know, candidates' addresses are public. He lives two blocks away. He could walk here in 3 minutes, and I'd like to learn more about him because he covers our area. So, Josh, if you're listening, please consider coming on our station.
He did call in last night.
Well, okay, he did. That's good. I'd like to see him in the studio, though, so he could take questions.
All right.
But that's all I had for you, and I will be in touch. Have a good show.
Bye-bye. Adam out there trying to get answers for us in regard to what happened with the Board of Elections last night. And again, maybe it's just the procedure that they have gone with. But I think we want to know, was this voted on? Is this the way it's going to be from now on? I think these are some of the questions that we have after last night's election. And I don't think it's just the media asking these questions. I think people in the Republican and Democratic Party are asking these questions this morning as well. And we will see how that all shakes out as time goes on. And we should have our first guest here this morning not too long from now. So I think it will take place at about a quarter till, about 10 minutes from now. But is anybody out there listening? Anybody who was a candidate last night, or anybody who has anything to say about the election? We've got about 10 minutes here before our first guest is going to join us this morning. So give us a buzz. We'd love to hear from you. I know a lot of people were with us during election coverage last night, and we'd love to hear what you think about the fallout from election 2021, which was essentially a local election here in Marion. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Give me a buzz if you are a candidate or you are just somebody who would like to comment on what happened last night. Now, there was a question last night. I asked it of Marion County Prosecutor Ray Grogan. I asked it of Mayor Scott Schertzer. Now, this is all before the results came in. Would all the coverage of what had gone on with former city auditor Robert Landon have an impact on last night's election? I don't know. I don't know if it did or not. I don't know if people thought about that when they went to the polls or not, but certainly you would have to say, with this many Republicans winning, that maybe it did have some impact. And what does this say about where we are as a city? You know, one of the interesting things here is, I believe Mayor Schertzer said last night that Tom Panett, the longtime city treasurer, had said, he was the first person, I guess, to sound the alarm, as I think the terminology was used by Mayor Schertzer, on what Robert Landon was or was not doing. And Tom Panett did not get reelected last night. Now, does this have anything to do with that? Or does this have something to do with simply the fact that Marion wants Republicans at this point? And you can't say anything but. If you look at the trajectory of votes since 2016, and I've been here for every election night since 2016, in that time, all of our county commissioners have become Republican. They were not all Republican. Prior to 2016, we had a Democratic county commissioner. They have all been Republican since 2016. We have a Republican sheriff. We did not have a Republican sheriff. The prior sheriff had four terms, and he was a Democrat. In this time period, the sheriff has went Republican. We look at the auditor in the city. We had had a Democratic auditor in the city. In 2019, that went Republican. Last night, the treasurer in the city. We had had a Democratic treasurer. That has now went Republican. We had, I believe, as after the last city council election in 2019, I believe was the last city council election. We have those every 2 years. I believe it was pretty split on city council back then. Because in 2016, we had, let me take a look here. We'll do the math here. Back in 2019, excuse me, we had Kai Mead in the first ward. We had Ayers Ratliff in the second ward. We had Jason Schauber in the third ward. We had Mr. Feliciano in the fourth ward. We had Leslie Cunningham at that time in the fifth ward. And we had Kathy Swanger, the independent, in the sixth ward. And then at large, we had Josh Daniels. We had Mike Thomas. And I believe at that time we had Becky Gustin was reelected, and then Mike Thomas assumed that seat, and then we had Mike Neff. So at the end of the races in 2019, we had four Democrats, four Republicans, and one independent. Now it is 6-3, no independents. 6 Republicans, 3 Democrats. And I think this is saying something about Marion. As I say again, the county commissioners are now all Republican. The sheriff is Republican. The prosecutor is Republican. The city auditor is Republican. The city treasurer, as of January, will now be Republican. The city council now leans heavily Republican, 6-3. What does all this mean? It does not seem to be getting any better in Marion for the Democratic Party. And maybe at some point they will have a grasp on what has happened. We talk about it a lot on this show. To be honest with you, what do people vote for? I mean, that's a very interesting question. What do people vote for? Locally, it really did used to be the person. Now, maybe people are still voting for the person. I don't know. I really don't know. Are they still voting for the person, or are they voting right along party lines? That's a big question that hopefully will be answered as time goes on. Because if we are voting down party lines, either way, Republican or Democrat, I don't know where that's going to take us, and I don't know if that will ever change. And I think it does say something about the political scene in 2021. And it has said something about the political scene since 2016. People take politics very personally. You know, they didn't used to take it quite as personal as they do now. Politics has always been a thing, but it's very personal now. It's very, very personal. When it comes to city council races, when it comes to auditor races, when it comes to mayoral races, when it comes to treasurer races, when it comes to county commissioner races, it has become much more personal than it ever was in the past. Now, what is driving that? I don't know. I mean, I do know people who listen to this station who get turned off because we do stories on politics. Well, you know, that's a service that all radio stations should provide, and for a long time have provided. And I don't know much beyond that at this point. Our first guest should be on here in a couple minutes. I do wonder, though, why it has become so personal. We had a conversation last night about, do people know who their city council people are? And kind of the consensus was that most people don't. They might have met them once. And as long as you don't have a problem, maybe you don't have interaction with your city council people. Is this a problem? I think people are trying to use the internet more to campaign. I don't know if that's a good idea, because people are not getting out as much as they used to. We don't have the service groups in town that we once had, like Altrusa. And I'm not saying these groups don't exist, but I don't think the candidates come and speak anymore. I don't think the forums are held quite as often as they used to be. People used to go to the retirement communities, the candidates. The candidates used to go to all kinds of service groups. And I don't know if that's a thing anymore. So maybe that's a bygone era that we are not going to pass by again. I don't know. We'll get some thoughts on that as the morning progresses here. This weekend, by the way, is the big dinner with the presidents. That is always a lot of fun. That will be held this Saturday, November the 6th, 5:30 to 8:30 p.m. at the Dayspring Westland Church. Not sure how they're doing on tickets, but we'll get back to that momentarily, because we are going to turn to some of the coverage last night that we had for 4-plus hours here. Didn't get the final results until after 11:30 last night, but hey, they finally came in, and I'm still awake here this morning. And as many of you know, one of the elections, one of the issues, levies that we covered throughout the season was the Marion City Schools renewal levy. Last night, that did pass. And we are joined this morning by Marion City Schools Superintendent Dr. Ron Arusi to discuss how that all shook out last night. Dr. Arusi, how are you?
I'm good. A little tired this morning, Scott, as I can imagine how tired you are today. I was hoping that maybe we could have this discussion last evening, but geez, as I emailed you later on, I said, boy, it's really getting close to my bedtime. I'm not going to make it till the end result. I ended up kind of dozing off, but woke up again about midnight or so to see some of the results. Looks like there's still one precinct out there that's still unaccounted for. So, but of all indication, it looks like the levy is going to pass.
Yeah, when you look at the numbers in regard to the levy, it passed by a fairly decent margin, considering the people who voted. What does that say to you?
Well, you know, unfortunately, in these off-year elections, you know, we don't get the kind of turnout that you would hope for. So I think the expectation was that there was probably going to be about, you know, in Marion City, in the district, it'd be about 3,500 votes. And so, you know, almost 60% of the votes were positive. We've looked at the election results for, you know, you got to remember this this levy has been renewed every 5 years since 1989. And so, you know, the margin of the of votes is fairly consistent. I think this is probably one of the higher margins, again, but you have to consider, you know, the amount of turnout. So, you know, all that being said, I just appreciate the fact that, you know, people in Marion City support the schools and understand and recognize that Marion City Schools is a focal point within the community, and we have to have strong schools. I appreciate, I think, the idea that this is a renewal levy, and it's no new taxes. And again, you know, the fact that it was passed in 1989 for the same amount of money, I think that people appreciate the fiscal responsibility that's gone on in this district, you know, for the last, you know, 40 years or so, 30 years.
For people who did not understand this levy going in last night, what basically did this levy mean to Marion City Schools?
Well, and you know, Scott, I mean, every school district has a local share of the, you know, the expenses that they have or the expenditures per pupil. You know, Marion City is largely in part funded by the state. About 77% of our budget is funded by through the state. But we do have a local share. And so that, you know, local share is general fund money, which goes towards the operations of the district. I think over the last 5 years, you know, we've been very fortunate to go out and have been able to secure over $18 million worth of grant funding to add some additional programming, get some programs up and running, provide professional development for our staff members. But the day-to-day operations, we rely on, you know, this levy, the local share, to be able to do that. And so, you know, to continue to open the doors every day and turn on the heat and the lights and all those kinds of things, and to provide the staff the necessary for the educational programs we have, that's the importance of this levy. If it for some reason did not pass, we would have to look at, you know, mainly personnel, because 80% of our budget is made up in personnel costs.
As you had said, this levy has passed for quite some time now. What do you think the key is to getting this levy passed? Because so many school levies do not pass, although Tri Rivers did pass last night.
Yeah, I think Elgin, Ridgedale, Tri Rivers, and us all had renewal levies. But I think that people see the importance and they understand how the school funding system is set up, and that there is a local share involved. And so people realize that they, you know, that's part of their responsibilities to keep our public schools operating at a level that we need them to operate to educate our students. So, I'm thankful that all of our counterparts here in the county were successful in renewing their levies as well.
Do you think this is maybe a little bit of foreshadowing for the future, that if a school district would put a levy on the ballot that was not a renewal levy, that maybe for the first time in a long time it would have a chance to pass?
Well, I know, that's a good question, Scott. And I know here within the community is, you know, that the message to the districts is you have to live within your means. And, you know, we have a philosophy here in Marion City Schools, since I've been here at least, we don't deficit spend. So we make sure that we're not spending more than we need. Than we need to. And I think that's part of the reason. I think that's the message to communicate to the communities. Now, you know, one of the things obviously is concerning is that, you know, the price of our electricity and gas and those kinds of things are on the rise. And so we, again, have to make sure that we are able to meet those costs without having to go and ask for additional dollars. So, I mean, that's always been my philosophy as a superintendent, that, you know, we try to stay off the ballot and ask for new money. What we've been fortunate to be able to do here in Marion City is we go out and look for other sources of revenue. And again, I said over the last 4 years, we were able to secure almost $18 million to do things like add career pathways and add after school programming. Those aren't things that typically come out of general fund, and that's what people tend to have to go back to ask for more operating dollars for. But that's just been our philosophy here in Marion City Schools.
There was a Marion City School Board election last night. Do you have any thoughts on that?
No, you know, we had two of our school board members. Again, you know, Mike McCreary, everybody knows Mike as Coach Mac. And Gary Imes was a former music instructor here in Marion City Schools. Just really appreciative of the time that I was able to spend with those two gentlemen. Just really focused on the children in Marion City Schools and trying to provide the best opportunity for them. So I really appreciate the time that I got to spend with those two and the remaining board members, Kelly McKay, Ted McKinnis, and Leslie Snyder, have all been focused on doing what's best for kids. And I would hope that the two new board members would be as focused as they are on making sure that we provide those opportunities for our students.
A few of the people who were out campaigning for school board this time, and this tends to happen during elections, made some assertions and things that they want to fix that they think are not right with Marion City Schools. Do you think that that was just election talk, and once it gets down to business, everything will be fine? Or do you think that this could be an issue as time goes on?
I certainly don't want to speak for the candidates or the newly elected board members as far as, you know, what their reasoning behind some of their assertions were. You know, we certainly have an open door policy, and I've been available to anybody to answer any questions that people might have in relation to the operation of how we do business here in Marion City Schools. You know, up until this point, I've not had that opportunity to speak to anyone particularly about some of those kinds of things. But I think, you know, once we're able to have some conversations and get some context into the, you know, what's been happening in Marion City Schools, you know, maybe we will kind of explain and get a better understanding of how we operate and why we do the things that we do. I'm pretty sure. You know, and I'm confident that Marion City Schools has done everything that they've needed to do. I mean, if you take a look at our financial forecast, again, we've been able to secure some money. This is probably one of the better five-year forecasts that I've seen. We'll be getting ready to present that again in November. So Veronica Reinhart and I have worked pretty hard on that. And so, you know, we've been fiscally responsible. We've not deficit spend in the last 5 years. And so, you know, I think it's just a matter of making sure you have those conversations about what we're doing and why we're doing it so you can put everything into context.
Do you think the pandemic has changed how people vote in any way in regard to things like schools and school board members?
Yeah. Well, I think it's not only the pandemic, Scott, but I think there's some social issues out there as well that has caused some division. I mean, I think, you know, and I appreciate the Marion community. I feel like we've been able to have dialogue about some of those things, and I have some friends who are superintendents in other areas that really have had some really contentious board meetings and conversations about mainly around, you know, I mean, not everybody agrees about mask wearing. Not everybody agrees about the safety protocols that we have during a pandemic. Not everybody agrees on social issues that, you know, and the curriculum that we're teaching and all those kinds of things. I really just believe and hope that we can continue on here in Marion City, and I hope this spreads throughout the state of Ohio, that we can have just honest, good, civil conversations about some of these things. Because, you know, in having these conversations, we're setting an example for the kids on how we want them to act in the future. We want them to be able to express themselves, but we also want everybody to respect the world from each other's eyes and be respectful and civil with each other.
Dr. Arusi, we have about 3 minutes left here before the top of the hour, and last week there was an incident at Harding that everybody became aware of because
right.
of social media in regard
yep.
to a threat that was put out there.
Right.
You know, this would not have happened 20 years ago, obviously, in regard to social media. What did you make of that situation, and where does it stand now?
Yeah, you know, and it's not my first rodeo. Also, as 17 years as a superintendent, we've dealt with those kinds of threats. You know, typically, Scott, you know, in any law enforcement agency will tell you they do a threat assessment, and typically when somebody posts something on social media, the likelihood of them carrying that through is very small. But that doesn't mean that we don't take them all very seriously, and we do our due diligence. The Marion Police Department was outstanding in their cooperation, collaboration, and their efforts over a weekend to make sure that our schools were safe. I mean, we had plenty of police presence on Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday of that week. We did find more information as gathered. There were about 29 different school districts around the country, and mainly in the Midwest, that had that same social media post. So it was obviously something that was traveling around on the internet. Again, you know, probably the likelihood of the legitimacy of that is very small, but we did our due diligence and make sure. So we're, I believe we're on that, but you know, we also have, you know, we encourage our families and our students, and I appreciate this. If you see something, say something, and that's what happened. And so we were able to address it.
Dr. Ronald Russi, superintendent of the Marion City Schools. Congratulations last night to you and everybody at Marion City Schools, and onward and upward we go.
Thanks, Scott. I hope you get some rest today.
Hey, thank you. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye-bye.
Dr. Ron Arusi, Marion City Schools Superintendent. The Marion City Schools renewal levy last night did pass. At some point today, I'm going to have to get some rest, but that's okay. You know, election night, you expect that when you're doing coverage, but boy, last night was an extra long night for a local election. If anybody has any thoughts on the election, we have a couple minutes here. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Any thoughts at all? Do you like the way the election results are coming down now, all kind of in one batch at the end of the night? Do you want that to be a permanent thing? What do you make of what happened with City Council last night? Certainly the makeup of City Council has changed without question. What do you think of the levies, the renewal levies passing in regard to a lot of these schools? The first consolidated fire levy going down. Any thoughts at all on the election last night? 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. I wonder what it all means in the end, and I think it will take days, if not weeks, to figure out exactly what it all means, but we'll all be here together as that happens. This morning, again, is going to be election wrap-up. Next hour, we are going to be joined by some candidates who were victorious last night and some other surprises that will come along next hour. So you don't want to go far from your radio. Today's a big day here at WWGH Radio. I will be on with Glenn Coble from 10:10 a.m. until 12 noon. Progressive Life with Glenn Coble will be on today, 12:10 until 1 p.m. Offbeat News and Trivia with Nate Redman, 4:10 to 5 p.m., and the Trinity Baptist Church Sunday Sermon from 6:10 until 7 p.m. today here on this station. I think I'm going to go get something to keep me awake, and I'll be back. Not coffee, because I'm not a coffee drinker. Maybe a little more diet soda, and I'll be back after this break. Stay well.
Marion, Ohio, the talking place. For people like legendary comedian Shecky Green talking about meeting legendary talk show host Ed Sullivan.